We begin the current daven sechtes chun daf kuf. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah. And our Mishnah was speaking about the topic of this parak regarding the gidah nasha, the forbidden sciatic nerve that's in an animal. And the Mishnah described what happens if one, by mistake, cooks that gidah nasha with the thigh, then it makes the mixture prohibited, as always is the case by issa b'heter. So that mission described, if you recognize the gidah nasha and you could take it out, so then you have to deal with the emissions, the taste that it gives, that's absorbed into the rest of the pot of the meat, and that is one element. Then if, let's say, you don't recognize the gidah nasha, it's somewhere lost inside, then we said everything's prohibited. And the Gemara says, why? Isn't it libatal beruba? Shouldn't it be nullified in the majority? So the Gemara said, no, b'riya shani, because it's an entirely intact element that's its own element. That is considered a creature, and therefore that's not bottle even in 1,000. Now, continuing the theme, the Mishnah said, "V'chein chaticha shel nevela b'chulu." Same thing applies to a slice of meat that's a nevela from an animal that wasn't properly slaughtered. That has the same halacha as the gidah nasha, which is if you recognize it and you take it out, so then we have to deal with the blias, with the platas, the taste that are emitted that gets absorbed into the rest of the pot. That we said there is halacha as bottle b'shishim if it gives taste. But if you don't recognize it, it's somewhere there lost amongst all the other pieces, so then the whole thing is going to be prohibited. So the Gemara asked the same question as I had before. V'tibat l'beruba, should be nullified in majority. Here it's not a bria, here it's not a complete creature or element, it's a sliced piece of meat. Why isn't it batal in the rive? Why is all the piece of meat going to be prohibited, even if there's 1,000 pieces to one? As the Gemara explains the question, it makes sense, the halacha of the Mishnah, according to the one who says, which the Machlik is brought in Masechtas Beya and Avgimel Mabeis, that kol shadarkei limanu shaninu, which there's a dispute regarding a halacha, which the wording is used with kol or s. What that means to say is there's an opinion that says, whatever is sometimes counted by number, by numerics, by metrics, oh, then it has a certain halacha, which this is brought in Masechtas Aril in the third parak, by bundles of fenugreek. Halacha is when that falls into permitted elements, it's not nullified. And the reason for that is because at times it's counted. So it's considered a significant thing, which is really the halacha like Bria, like Taisa said on the top of this Amud, where things that are distinct, we don't have the halacha of nullification. Now, here too, at times, a person will count his pieces, his sliced pieces of meat, when he's, let's say, inviting guests. He wants to know, okay, I'm having 12 guests, and we could slice up this roast, 12 pieces. So at times, a person will count. So it makes sense that that's going to qualify for the halach of kol shadarkei limanis, which is not going to be batel, and that's why it's not batel in the case of our Mishnah. But elamandama es shadarkei limanis shenina, but according to the one that says, that when did we say this halacha that it's not going to be nullified? It's only something that's distinctly, generally counted with numbers, that's when it's not batel, like by bundles of that halacha, the Mishnah Masechta Sarla. But something that at times is not counted, that it could even be evaluated or just estimated, so even though at times, sometimes that it's counted, it's still going to be nullified. So my klamemo, so what are you going to say about the halacha of Mishnah? Why isn't it not nullified? Pieces of meat are not always counted. Yes, at times it could be. But to be qualified as something that's not batel has to be es shadarka, that's always like that. And that's not the case. So why isn't it nullified in a simple majority? Says the Gemara, Shani Chaticha, the case of our Mishnah of a sliced piece of non-kosher meat is different when it's significant. Hail veru liskabit balafnei archim, since it's fit to be given as a sign of honor and dignity in front of the guests. I mean to say, a slice is something chashuv, something significant, even if it's not only counted, which that would give it significance. Or even if it's not its own creature. The fact that it's considered a significant thing, that it's not just sloppy, it's considered it's a full slice, that's considered something chashuv, and therefore it's not going to be bottled. And says the Gemara B'tzricha, we have to say both these halachas of our Mishnah regarding the gidah nasha and regarding a chaticha shel nevela. Because diash min gid, if we would say the halacha regarding the gidah nasha, so like we said in the top of this amma from the previous daf, mishum de briyahi, because it's its own creature. Av chaticha emalot, but by a sliced piece of meat, I would say no, that it is nullified. And even if the piece is somewhere here, we'll say it's nullified in the majority. Now viash min chaticha, had we only said the second case of the sliced piece of nevela, I would say hal v'ru l'skabit bo lefnei archim, since it's considered significant that you could be honored by it by in front of guests, oh, that's where it's not going to be bottled. Av gire emalot, but by the gira nasha, where it's not considered chaticha that you give to a guest, here's the tendon from the gira nasha, I would say no, there actually is bottled. Tzricha, therefore, I have to say there that no, because of Bria, and that's why they say both halachas, that when it's lost in there, the piece, and you don't recognize it, take it out, all the pieces, everything inside there is going to be asur. Relating to the halacha of the Mishnah that we just quoted, so Darish Rabba Baba Chana, he says, Chaticha shal nevela, a piece of a nevela meat, or v'shal dag tame, or from a non-kosher fish. The halacha is, eino aseres, it's not going to make other things prohibited with its emissions, which is what its plate, this is what the taste that come out of this prohibited thing, until that there is enough, shatitin tam, that it could give taste and flavor to everything there in the pot. Beraitiv, in the gravy, ubekipa, which are the small pieces, ubechatichas, and the other pieces of meat that there are there in the pot. Only if it has that much emission, that it's going to give taste into everything, only then will it make everything else there prohibited. But if not, so it's not making it prohibited because it's too weak when it's spreading out throughout all the different things in the pot to give it a significant taste. However, Uki Rav Amayra Lebedarsh, Rav went and placed a translator in front of him who amplifies and expounds to the public what the Talmud Chacham wants to say, and expounded that they shouldn't learn from the halacha of Rabba Baba Chana, who we had just quoted. Because he says as follows, he says, no. He says, you know what happens? Once that prohibited piece of non-kosher meat or non-kosher fish, it falls into a pot. Once it gives flavor into one piece, which was right there on the side of the non-kosher piece, or if let's say it was first cooked with that kosher piece was cooked with the non-kosher meat, before all the other pieces of meat were put into the pot, and that other piece of meat did not have a ratio of 60-1, so that means to say that the non-kosher piece gave taste in that kosher piece. And then afterwards you went and put in other pieces into the pot. You know what happens? Chaticha atzma, this piece itself, they got taste from the non-kosher piece of meat. Nas is nevela, what's known as chanan. Chaticha nas nevela, that's the Rashi Tevis. It itself becomes a nevela piece of meat. What that means to say is, it's not just that we qualified with the absorption that it has from the nevela. No, all of its elements now is considered like a nevela, because it wasn't mevatel that. Now it's us, so now it's like the whole thing is considered nevela. And therefore, v'yiseres kol ha'chatichas kulon, so now it's actually going to make all the pieces prohibited, nemnei shehein mina, because they're the same type. Now the assumption of the Gemara right now at this point is that because it's the same species, it's the same type, so the other piece of meat are not going to nullify it, even if it sounds like, that's what the Gemara's question is going to be, that all the other piece of meat would have enough to nullify both of these two pieces. The original nevela and the quote new nevela. It became a nevela because of the absorbed taste, which A, it makes it nevela, and also what's called that you can't do schita, you can't squeeze it out to get the iser out of it. No, it becomes its own iser. So it sounds like from the Gemara right now, that what Rav is saying is that it becomes a nevela, and therefore all the new pieces of meat are the same species, and therefore cannot be mevatlet. However, as the Gemara, Amalei Rav Safra Labai, says, Mechti, let's see. Well, first of all, we understand that he was disagreeing with Rabba Bachana, who made it sound like that, no, we view the whole thing as the taste in contrast to that original piece of Nevela, and that Rav is saying, no, the first piece they got from it, it itself is now a Nevela, and you have more than just that original piece, and therefore, it's not going to be, all the other pieces of meat will not be Mevatla. But we're qualifying one element over here regarding the last statement of Rav, that Rav Safra asked Habai, he says, Mechte, let's see. Rav, who said that because of its species, it's the same type, therefore it's not going to mevatel it. Come on, Amar L'Shmaite. So obviously, who's he going like? Kareb Yehuda. He's the one that we quoted in previous stuff, that when it's the same species, then there's no bittel. Even you could have 60-1, it doesn't make a difference. The same type, there's no nullification. Different tastes, different types, so you can nullify, but when it's the same thing, there's no nullification happening. So then the question is, my iri kinosan tam, so how do we understand Rav's halacha? Why is he saying that when you had one piece that was nevela with another piece that's kosher, and if it gives a taste, ooh, then it made it nevela, now it's us, and it's not the other pieces that are so many are not going to be able to nullify because it's the same type. Why do you need that for? A filikilai nosan tam. Even if that original piece of nevela did not give a taste into the piece that's right next to it, still it's not going to be able to nullify it. Nami, also, because the original piece of nevela itself is itself the same species as all the other pieces, it's not going to nullify it. Why do we need the help of the second piece, which it now is chanan, it becomes nevela, and okay, you can't squeeze it out, now it's really bad, because all the other pieces are the same type. They're the same type as the original Vela too. So Malay, so that says Abaya. Now Chochma Iskina, what are we talking about over here? Is Bishakadam Misilka. Is where the person first removed the original prohibited piece in the Vela with that gravy that was with it before the other piece of meat were put into the pot. So therefore, it's only because the original Nevela gave taste into that first piece of meat that now it's going to subsequently make everything else prohibited. Because if not, what would the new piece become forbidden from? The new pieces never were in contact, not with touch, not with taste, with the original piece. Because that was taken out before the other piece were put in. That's what Rav's teaching us, Chanan, that the piece of meat became Nevela, which now the other pieces are in contact with a kosher piece of meat. Yeah, but it's not just a kosher piece of meat. And it's not just that it has the absorbed taste of the original piece. It itself is like a nevela. And now it's making all the other pieces of meat prohibited with its emissions. And again, then not be mevatel that piece of meat because it's min b'mina and therefore cannot be mevatel. That's one interpretation. Ravam, he says, as we continue to Medbeis, says, no, afilat tema lekadim esilka. You don't have to say the case like Abaya said that, oh, we're talking about that the original nevela was taken out before the other kosher piece of meat were put in. But even so, the other piece of meat will not become forbidden, only, as Rav was saying, because of that first original piece of permitted meat which became forbidden. Why? So Rav explains. It says, the case that we're describing, havamin uminoi v'davar acher. It's something that there's three elements. There's one type, another thing of the same type, and something of a different type. Now, chomin uminai, whenever you have something that's the same type, like over here, where we're having a piece that's nevela and a piece that's slaughtered. V'dava acher, and you have something else. What's the something else over here? The spices and the gravy. So what ends up happening is that, so you have the forbidden element. Then you have the same type of the permitted element. That which is the same type of the permitted element, which in the case that we're describing are all the other kosher pieces of meat, they're not going to nullify the Isser. Because we're saying, min b'minoi is lay batal. But they're not going to add on to the Isser either. They're not becoming from the prohibited thing too. Because they would have enough actually to mevatel. They just can't do that because it's the same species. But they don't become the Isser itself. But rather what ends up happening is salik es minoi kemisha enoi. What happens in halacha is that we remove the same type as if it's not there in this pot. Because, again, it's not becoming asr, but it can't be mevatel. So we consider it as if it's not there. It's not part of the equation. Now what you're left with is the nevela, the non-kosher piece, with the gravy. Oh, v'she'enei minoi rabba lava mevatle. So then you qualify it as a regular min be'enei minoi, something with not its same type. Oh, then if you have enough of a measurement, it will be nullified. Because by min she'enei minoi, we do qualify in the laws of bittul. Which is that the nevela is going to be bottled with the gravy and with the small little pieces. Now, therefore, that explains the halacha of Rav. Since the nevela gave taste into the first piece of meat, before you didn't have all that gravy put in, and then you put in the water and the small pieces and the spices and all the other pieces of meat. So, therefore, as we explained, this is Rav holds, and that's what he was coming to disagree with the previous halacha, is that the first piece becomes a piece of nevela. And that's why it's going to make everything else prohibited. Why? Because of 2 points. Now, because all the other pieces of meat that were subsequently put in are the same type as the first pieces of meat, the first nevela and the one that became a neo-nevela, is the other piece of meat cannot be mevatlet. So even though there's more than 500 pieces of meat that were put in, it doesn't make a difference. Min b'minoi is in the bottle. Now, additionally, the gravy itself would have had, and this is why it's important that the second piece of meat became a nevela, it would have been 60 regarding to the first piece of meat. But since now there's another nevela, it does not have 60 in the ratio of both pieces of meat. And that's why it was important for the halacha of Rav to say that chanan, the first piece of meat becomes asa. So therefore, that's two approaches to explain the halacha of Rav. Why did he need to say chanan, if you're saying min b'minoi, but the original piece of nevela is the problem. Anyways, it cannot be mevatlet. So he said two approaches, either that of Abaya that says, no, we removed it beforehand. So, and then the other piece of meat would put in. So if we were just discussing the first one, that's not relevant anymore. It's only because this second one became its nevela, now the other piece cannot be mevatel that. Or like Rava said, they said, no, it's because simply it would have had 60-1 of the ainim, meaning of the gravy, in order to be mevatel the first one. It's only now that there's two pieces of nevela, and we're considering it as Nevela, and that's the Chiddush of Rav, which is what disputes Rabbi Bachana. Rabbi Bachana says no, that you view it as if all the tastes are going throughout, and therefore we don't view it as more than what the original thing was. And according to him, he would disagree with this whole halacha that was saying from Rav. He would say that no, it's all going to nullify the original taste. And Rav's saying no, Chanan. It become the second piece is like a new nevela. You have double the amount. Let's say if the slices were the same size of authentic nevela, and therefore that's different than what Rav Bachana was saying was. And again, that's why the Gemara addressed why it has to say the element of giving a tam, because of just min b'minay, that would only be regards to the first piece. But we're saying two interpretations why it's necessary for the second piece too to be considered as its own distinct nevela and not just an absorbed taste of the first piece of nevela. I think Mark continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the halachas of our perek of Gid Anasha, says the Tanakama Noig B'Tahira. The Isser of Gid Anasha only applies to a kosher piece of meat. Be'ene Noig B'Tameh does not apply to a non-kosher piece of meat, meaning someone eats the Gid Anasha of a non-kosher animal. So according to the opinion that holds that Gidin, sinews, give taste, so he's going to get lashes because he ate meat from a non-kosher animal, because it has taste like a non-kosher animal, but he won't get violation because of the Gid Anasha. And that's what the Tanakhama is saying. Now, according to the one who holds that Gidin don't give a taste at all, it's actually such a person who would eat the Gid Anasha of a non-kosher animal would be exempt from anything. Because even by a kosher animal, we consider just a piece of wood, which the Torah says exists a kasid yichai for. But by a non-kosher animal, which doesn't apply, so you're not being violated the Isra of non-kosher because you ate like a piece of wood, and it's not considered eating a piece of meat from the non-kosher animal, and so it's not going to violate the Isra of Gid Anasha. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Mehi, however, disagrees. He says, no, apetmeh, this Gid Anasha applies even by a non-kosher animal. And Amr Rabbi Yehuda, he proves his point. He says, Valoi b'mnei Yaakov neser Gid Anasha. The Isra Gid Anasha was already from the days of the sons of Yaakov Vino. Like the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Al Cain, since the Malach hit him on the thighs and it jumped out, so the sons of Yaakov don't need to get on Nasha. Now, Vadain Behemet Tmei Muteris Len. At that point in time, until Matan Torah, they didn't have the laws of a Jewish person, and they were able to eat non-kosher animals, and yet you see they weren't even the Gid Anasha. So you see, Gid Anasha applies even by non-kosher animals. Avada Maloi, on that the sages said to Behuda, now this Pasuk that was giving a prohibition regarding the sons of Yaakov, B'Sinai Nema. Actually, that was said at Har Sinai. Until Har Sinai, they were not proscripted from having the Gid Anasha. It's only after the Torah was given at Har Sinai that Moshe Rabbeinu went and wrote it and organized it in the Torah. He wrote it in the area of where the incident happened, that after he got injured by the Malach, therefore the Jewish people after him are not going to eat the Gid Anasha. But it didn't start then. It actually only started after Har Sinai, and therefore we don't find that the Gid Anasha was even by a non-kosher animal. Now, the Gemara first asks on the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Isser Gid Anasha apply even by a non-kosher animal. Ask the Gemara. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda hold Isser Chal al Isser, that something that's already prohibited can then have another prohibition take effect in that too? Because the Gemara assumes at this point that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that not only is the person liable for being a non-kosher animal, but he's also being liable for the fact that it's a Gid Anasha. Is that so that he holds that two prohibitions can take effect on the same thing? But Matanya, when the Braisa, he says, Yachal Tehei Nevelas Oif Tameh, you would think that the carcass of a dead non-kosher bird, that it would be Matameh Begodim Abes Abliyah, that it would transmit Tumah to the garments of the person when it's in his throat when he's swallowing it, which is the halacha by a dead kosher bird, which was not properly slaughtered. When it's in the person's throat, then it contaminates his garment. You would think the same thing would apply to a non-kosher bird. Tam 11, that's what the Pasuk teaches, and Bayikra says, Nevelu utrefa lo yechlu tamaba. If it's not properly slaughtered or has a mortal defect, says the Torah, don't eat it to become contaminated by it. So says Rabbi Yehuda, what this teaches us is, Misha isuri, mishum baltechel nevela. Only that which is prohibited because of don't eat it because it wasn't properly slaughtered. In other words, because he's becoming tame through this eating, which that refers to nevela of an oif, as the Braisa teaches in Taras Kanim, Sechtes Nidah, Membeis, Membeis. So therefore what the Braisa is saying is, so you would think that it would apply also to nevela of a non-kosher bird. That's what the Pasuk says, no, nevela trefa lo yechel tama, that which is prohibited because of not eating it as nevela, that's what I tell you, you'll become tummy through its eating. But Yatzeh Zeh, that excludes the non-kosher bird. She'eni surim mishum batoich al nevela. That its isur, its prohibition, is not because of don't eat it of nevela. That's not why. Ela mishum batoich al tamea. Rather, its problem is because don't eat it because not kosher. Not because it wasn't properly slaughtered. And that's why you can't eat it. And therefore, you're not going to have tamei when it's in the person's throat. Now, but from the fact that Rabbi Huda says that its isur is not because of nevela, obviously he holds that the isur nevela will not take effect on the isur tamei. Since it's already not kosher, it's not going to have the isur of nevela. Because if he held isur chalal isur, so what do you mean? Why can't it be also because of nevela too? And then become tamei in his throat to mimic tamei's garments. Obviously he holds the ainus chalal isur. So then how does he say in our Mishnah that it's going to be prohibited because of tamei, because it's not kosher, and of gid anasha? So says the Gemara v'chitim, and if you're going to say kesaver in begidim leisim tam, then actually he holds that gidin sinews tendons, which is what the gid anasha is, doesn't give taste. And you're right; he would hold that there's no prohibition of non-kosher animal of the gid anasha, and the only isser he's saying that you're going to get is the gid anasha, like we're saying in our Mishnah, and therefore there's no isser chalal issa. But that is the Gemara ubetimeya nami, meaning so you're saying that by non-kosher animal. Isser gid ikka, isser tamaleka, that, oh, okay, it's only going to have the isser gid and not the isser tamam, but that has the Gemara, b'savar b'yehuda ima gidim leisim tam, but is that really so, as you want to explain, that b'yehuda holds that gid don't give flavor, and therefore you're not violating because it's not kosher, you're only violating even like a piece of wood, what it is from the gid anasha by a non-kosher animal? But v'tanya, we'll learn the b'risa, not like that. Ha'eichel gid anasha shal behemet tmeya. If someone eats the gid anasha of a non-kosher animal, which is the case of our Mishnah, he says you're liable for two isurim, which is that of non-kosher and of the gid anasha. Reb Shimon says you're exempt, which sounds like totally, which the Gemara is going to explain why would you be totally exempt. But one thing is, you see, Reb Yehuda is holding the person liable for both. But then we're back to the question: how do you get both? He holds einis chalal issa. So says the Gemara, lo'olam k'sava yesh begidin leisin tam. You're right. He holds that gidin give a taste, and since he holds it's a taste, so that would be a violation of tasting a non-kosher animal, which are of tamei. And also for that of gid anasha. Now, however, miksaver noig b'shlil, he holds that the issa gid anasha applies even when the animal is a fetus. The issa gid, the issa tamah, that then therefore answers our question, because that's going to make that the issa gid anasha and the issa of non-kosher animal, b'hadi hadodi kasi, they both take effect at the same time. From the creation of the formation of the fetus in the womb, then they both take effect. And that's why you could have both these two. You're right. Einis chalal issa means to say that when something is already prohibited, you can't add on another issa. But if they're both happening at the same time, then they're both going to take effect. And therefore, the issa gid anasha and the issa behemet tmeya are happening at the same time when it's originally formed. That's why you could have both. And that is the Gemara. But can you say your answer that which is contingent on saying that he holds that the issa gid anasha already starts when the animal formation is as a fetus in the womb? But what's not? We learn in the Mishnah and pay test some base, clearly not like that. The Mishnah says, the Tanakhama says, Noig Bishlil, the Issa Gid Anasha applies to a fetus. The Yudhoyim says, Eina Noig Bishlil. It says, no, the Issa Gid Anasha does not take effect when it's a fetus. And so too, Vechel Bei Mutter, its fats are going to be permitted. Now, obviously, that we're seeing that the Issa Tuma, when a non kosher animal would take effect on a fetus, because when it's formed, it's already a non kosher animal. The thing is, what we see from the Mishnah on Daf Pei Tes, but the Issa Gid Anasha doesn't take effect until it's born. As we said, it doesn't apply when it's a fetus. So then we're back to the question, how could it take effect on the pre-existing Issa of Tumah? So says the Gemara, no, that Mishnah on Pei Tes that said that there's no Issa Gid Anasha as a fetus, Hanemila Gabi Tahira, that was only talking about by a kosher animal. Why? Why would there be a differentiation if he holds the Issa Gid Anasha as both by kosher and non-kosher, so why would there be a differentiation as a fetus? The reason is because Drachmanam, the Torah says, "Kol bebehema teichelu," that whatever is in an animal you could eat, which we had learned previously. What that means to say is, as the Gemara said in Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, which is actually the pasuk where we learn out the permissibility of a fetus with the slaughtering of the mother, which says whatever is in the animal that's slaughtered, even the fetus inside, become permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. Which that means to say everything inside, besides the forbidden parts of the mother animal, but that means to say even the forbidden fats or the gid anasha of the fetus is also going to be permitted. So that's why Yehuda holds that the gid anasha does not apply by a fetus. But that's only because the mother is what's permitting it. But by a non-kosher animal where it's not being permitted with the slaughtering of the mother because there's no permissible slaughtering of a non-kosher animal. So there actually, the Gedanasha of the fetus would also be Aser. And therefore, we're back to our answer. That yeah, they're both taking effect at the same time. But the Gemara still asks, could you really say that the Issa Gedanasha and the Issa Beimetzmei are taking effect at the same time in the beginning of the formation of the fetus so that it's not a problem of Isser Chalal Isser? But what's not? Learn the Mishnah Masechtas Nazir that says, Al Elu Tumas HaNazir Mikalech. Regarding the following tumas, a nazir, who is someone that takes a vow that he's not going to partake of wine, become tummy, and that he has to then shave off his hair. Meaning, if let's say he was in the same oil, in the same tent as these tummy elements, so his naziris became tummy, and the pasuk says in Mamidbar, Perek Vav, that, oh, so then, Vayam Rishon Yiplu, so the days that he counted, which the minimum is 30 days, they fall away. He has to cut his hair, and he has to start over his count again. Like the pasuk says, "V'gilach roish shabim tarasa." When he finally purifies himself from the tumah, he has to cut his hair, and he has to start all over again. What are the tumas that? It's not any tumah. What are the tumas that a nazir has to start over? So says the Mishnah, "Ala mes," if he's in the same oil as a dead person, in the same canopy, in the same overhang, or val kazais min mes, or an olive-sized piece of a dead person. Now that was the Mishnah says. Now the kashlum we had asked on that Mishnah, I don't understand. It's saying that even the olive-sized piece of a dead person, a person would have to cut off his hair and start over his naziris. So alamez kula lekoshkin. So obviously, when there's a whole dead person, why do you have to say both? Just say kazayis from the mess, and I would know obviously by kavachem the whole mess. On that, Rabbi Yechon, he had answered. He says lo nitzchu. No, you don't need. It would be necessary to say the case of a complete mess. Ela lenefel shlein neskashri avar begidin. We're talking about a miscarried fetus that didn't yet have that its limbs were connected by the tendons, which is what the tendons do, connecting all the different parts of the body. And hence, there isn't yet an olive-sized piece of flesh in the whole fetus. And that's the chiddush of that halacha, that even though there's not even kezayis basim in the mess, but since it's a whole mess, it's going to contaminate the person by being in the same oil. That's what that we had explained for that Mishnah. But Alma, one thing, says the Gemara, that we see is that first gets formed the limbs, which is before the tendons, as we have this case, which the tendons weren't there yet, but the limbs are there. And obviously you see from there that Issa Tumah Kadim, that the prohibition of non-kosher animal, which is dependent on its limbs, which is what gives the tzura to the creature, that takes effect first before the Issa Gedanasha, because the Evarim are there before the Gid. So back to the question, how could you say, to answer the question, that they're both coming at the same time, so it's not Issa Chalissa, when you see it's not happening at the same time? The Behemoth Tmeya is there before the Gedanasha, so how are you violating, according to Behuda, the Issa Gedanasha when it cannot take effect on the pre-existing Issa Tmeya? So the Gemara says, you're right. It's not taking effect at the same time. Avagav to Issa Tumah Kadim, but even though the prohibition of non-kosher animal is there in place first, Asi Issa Gid, this is an exception to the rule, that the prohibition of the Gedanasha could then subsequently take effect on that already prohibited animal. Why? Shikain Isuroi, because here the prohibition of the Gedanasha is very stringent, and therefore it could have the power to take effect on an other thing that's already Aser. Well, what's this great stringency? It's because Noig Bibnei Noich, because according to Behuda, the Issa Gedanasha applies even to non-Jews, therefore we see the severity of that Isser, and therefore, although yes, in general, Behuda holds Enes Chal Isser, as we pointed out before, in this case, he will hold that the Isser will be Chal Isser. And says the Gemara, Dekinami. Actually, a precise reading indicates that the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is for this idea that we're saying, because he learns it out from the sons of Yaakov, as we learned in the Mishnah, which then, before Matan Torah, they were Bnei Noach. And therefore you see that the reason why he says it could take effect even on Behemoth Tmeya is because it takes effect even by non-Jews, which is what the Jews were before Matan Torah. Diktan, like we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that the Issa Gedanasha will even be by non-kosher animal. And he says, V'haloi b'mnei Yaakov nesa Gedanasha. What do you mean? The Gedanasha was already prohibited from the sons of Yaakov in the biblical times before Har Sinai. V'adayim behemet tamei mutarslam. And the non-kosher animal was still permitted for them. So you see, besides for the fact that it's even by non-kosher animal, but why? He's proving from b'nei Yaakov. Or b'nei Yaakov were like b'nei Noach at that time before they became like a b'nei Yisrael by Har Sinai. And therefore you see that's why he's saying it could take effect Issa Chalalissa, because it's so severe that it takes effect even by B'nai Noach, and therefore that explains the reasoning of Yehuda that yes, but Gedanasha could apply even by Tmeya, because in this case we will say Issa Chalalissa because it's such an Issa Chama that it takes effect, that it even applies to B'nai Noach, to non-Jews.